Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Monday Waffle. I'm Laura Birch, and joined in the studio with me today is Kelly Haywood. How are you going, Kelly?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about some weekend footy. It's one of my favourite things to do.
Absolutely. And we've still got quite a few people away throughout the state doing work experience, so it's just me and Kelly today, but we've got an awesome show lined up for you.
That's right.
And let's get on to the games, Kelly, but firstly, we are joined on the line by Monday Waffler, Verity Hughes. How are you going?
Hello, ladies. How are we?
Good, Verity. We miss you in this office.
Oh, look, it's okay. I'm only one call away.
Verity, we need to talk about your boys on the weekend.
No, let's not talk about it. I can't. I'm not ready to talk about it.
Look, they tried. They stuck in there till the end. I'll give them that much. But, I mean, it just wasn't. It wasn't enough.
Give us the stats.
It wasn't great.
Who was good for East Frio, Kel?
Brock O'Brien was great. 4 goals, 1 behind. He was the best and fairest for last year. Verity, I hear you're a fan.
Of Brock O'Brien? I'm a fan of all the Sharks boys. I love them all, really. But, yeah, look, I'm devastated. They were missing a few of their midfielders again, though, this week. So that's another factor. The same thing happened last week. They're missing their... a lot of their key players.
Yeah, well, it's a shame. And even the stats show, you know, Perth had the ball for 56% of the game, whereas East Frio was only 44%. So that, in the end, ultimately lost the game for them. Second quarter was pretty normal for East Frio, 4 goals, 1 behind. But this is when Perth really came back. 6 goals, 2 behinds. I'm convinced this is the quarter that won the game for them. They just did so well.
Well, the thing we know about any waffle game, you've got to be able to play 4 quarters well.
That's right.
It's like if you slip, it's gone.
Yeah, and I think this is what Frio's done. And as I said before, they kept fighting until the end. They third quarter, they started pretty strong. They did let Perth score a fair bit in the middle, but they ended with 2 great goals. But in saying that, this was a bad quarter for goal kicking in regards to Perth. They had 3 goals and 6 behinds. So they weren't, you know, as accurate as they could have been. But again, they still walked away with the win. And fourth quarter was pretty quiet for both teams. Frio walked away with 3 goals, 2 behinds. And Perth was 3 goals, 3 behinds. So Frio did keep fighting the whole way. Don't worry, Verity.
I have to say, though, even though I am rather devastated, I am happy that if any team was going to shake things up, that it is the Perth Demons, because I do have a bit of a soft spot for them. As Birchie and you would know, my man Clint Jones plays for Perth, and you know, I love a good underdog win. So I mean, it's so awesome to have this shake up. It's just a shame that it couldn't happen to your South instead of my South.
Well, look, who knows? This could be a defining moment for Perth, and maybe they'll go on to play some finals footy.
That's right.
But someone who we know is definitely going to be playing finals footy is Subi. Another week, another win for them. However, it wasn't enough to retain the top spot. South Rio's gotten in there, which makes me quite happy. They lost the first quarter but came back harder and stronger to beat the Tigers at Medibank Stadium. Subi have won the last 3 games against Claremont. Well done to Subi for that. Liam Ryan kicked 4 goals for Subi, a 19-year-old player who could get a call-up to play AFL. He's definitely on the radar of a few AFL clubs.
Oh, definitely.
And captain Kyle Horsley racked up 32 possessions for the Lions and showed great leadership, especially in the first and second quarter. And he's top of the leaderboard for this year's disposals, so definitely a great player.
They should appreciate him as a player. He's very, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Bo Meister kicked 3 goals for Claremont. Jack Bradshaw, 3. Jai Bolton gathering 33 possessions. And Ryan Lim, 28. Ruckman Mitch Andrews was also great for Claremont. 22 touches, 7 marks, 39 hitouts. And Claremont, they're a strong side, but they need to be competitive for 4 quarters.
The Cats against the Cats, that was going to be a tough game, I think, because Claremont's actually stepping up in the past couple of games they've had. But
well, that's the thing.
I think Clappin can sleep safe and sound. Her Subi, Lions will most definitely be in contention for finals.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
And join on the line now, we've got another Monday Waffler who's in Sydney. Joel, how are you?
G'day, girls. How you going? Excited to be on. Look, I missed last week. I was a little bit gutted. I'm sure the fans would have, hated not hearing my voice.
Oh, not sure about that.
Joel, it's
I don't know if they would have hated not hearing my voice as much as I would have hated it not hearing my voice. But anyway,
yeah,
good round of waffle, wasn't it, girls?
It was. And my team, South Rio, and Kelly's West Perth faced off. Kelly, who did well in those teams?
Oh, I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest. The West Perth boys went down South Free. Unfortunately, we're just too good, 102-67. Now, Laura, that's your team. Versus me. I'm not happy about this.
Yeah, you got to up your form. You have been playing well the last few weeks, so we'll give you that.
Mm. I mentioned to Andrew Strike, 4 goals, 2 behinds. But look, he always plays very, very well. I wanted to give a mention to Shane Nelson, 40 disposals. Being a key midfielder, they did lose this week, but he's a key player all games, honestly. Ben Saunders for South Freer, 6 goals, 1 behind. That's pretty impressive. He did very, very well.
Well, Joel, we're still doing well, aren't we, without Ashton Hams?
I was going to pipe in there. My main man gone down with the calf. Hopefully not out for too long, but they've just shown they've got so much class, don't they?
Yeah.
Especially in that midfield and then up forward with Saunders kicking 6. So,
yeah.
I hear he's making his way back and could be back for finals. That's what I hear.
That's what you want.
Yeah, it was just a calf, wasn't it? So usually they're only about a month a calf, but at worst case scenario, but he must have done it quite badly if they're talking before finals. So, yeah, hopefully he can get back. He's a professional, though, you know. I mean, let's face it. Has he done anything wrong yet this season?
Hasn't at all.
Just showing they've got so much class. So I think that was a dominant win against West Perth, wasn't it? They've had some good form recently, haven't they? So to absolutely destroy them like they did, that's just a show of strength, really. So good win by good win by your adopted boys, Birchie. Gone from them from the day you were born, isn't it?
Third quarter for them was incredible. 6 goals. They ran away with the game there. That's where, that's what's won it.
All class, absolute class. Now, let's go on to the surprise win. Swan District scraped through another win against a very depleted Peel.
It was a good win, though. You've got to give them that.
Oh, absolutely. But you've got to feel sorry for Peel, and don't like to make excuses, but look, Frio with the injuries, a lot of Peel players have been getting the call up.
Yeah, well, yeah, dipping into their reserves there, aren't they, the Peel boys? But it's a brilliant win for Swan District, isn't it, guys? I mean, Perth and Swan District, you usually look every week and just go, it's going to be a tough one for them this week.
Yeah.
They don't often get up, but it was a good round for them to get that win, and going forward, I guess.
They were just able to move the ball, dominating Peel with kicks, marks and scoring shots. Got to say to Peel, though, veteran Rory O'Brien, 38 disposals and 1 goal. He was probably the shining light for them. Andrew Hayden had a career best, 30 disposals. Mm. But for Swans, Ricky Carey, 6 goals, 3 behinds, 20 disposals. He's just returned to the side. And great player. And Adam Faulkner, too, 3 goals, 30 disposals.
Good games by, they've got a strong spine there, don't they? Swan District's showing there. I mean, they don't often utilise it, but it was good for them to get the win this week against, as you said, Peel are still showing some good strength throughout the season. So
I know
the Dockers players coming in and out, but that's a very good win for Swan District, isn't it?
I think Peel are just going to keep dropping. I think,
you reckon?
Yeah, they don't have enough strong players, leaderships. The team's constantly changing. I think, who knows, maybe Swans could get ahead of them by the end of the season.
Especially with Frio
sneak into the finals, you reckon?
With Frio dipping in and taking out the main players, I mean, it's bound to happen.
Look, I don't think they're going to get into finals. They'll always be top bottom four, that's for sure. But
give them a break. They try. Yeah.
Who knows? There's still a chance to get ahead of Claremont.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
We're now joined on the line by Dale Miller from the West Australian. How did you find the Perth and East Fremantle game this weekend?
Look, it was actually an incredibly exciting game to be involved in. It didn't look like much on paper, given that Perth had only won three games for the year. But after a slow start, the Demons really got going. They got fired up by a quarter-time address from Coach Earl Spalding. He said some of the East Fremantle players weren't paying them the necessary respect and particularly asked for some of the opposition stars, such as Brock O'Brien, to be targeted. It created an eventful second quarter. There were two reports. There were plenty of melees across the ground. Perth got on top courtesy of a six-goal second quarter. And the hero was Cody Leggett, a pretty unlikely star, 20-year-old. He played forward as a defensive tagger initially, bobbed up, kicked six goals in the first half, finished with seven. And Perth, who had been so brave and physical during that second quarter, they held their measure in the second half and got over the line for their fourth win of the year. That's doubled the number of victories they had last year. It was a significant one for the club. They'd had a bit of a heart-to-heart earlier in the week where Clint Jones had addressed the troops and called for more for some of the players on the list, and they gave it on the weekend, and perhaps a sign of good things to come in the final third of the season if you're a Perth supporter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Perth are a great team when they're playing well, and Cody Leggett, what an effort, what a champion. Were you surprised that they could beat East Fremantle? East Fremantle's had a great run the later part of the season.
Look, it was a danger game for East Fremantle. They've got a few out of their best players. George Hampson, Liam Anthony, who we know came out of North Melbourne and the AFL system, are just a couple of their players that are missing. Jack Perrin went out with a groin injury on the weekend, and he's been in pretty handy form as a forward. So Perth were getting them at the right time. I still thought the Sharks would get up. I've really rated what they've done under Rob Wiley this season, but it wasn't to be, and as the game went on, you would have expected, given what was on the line for East Fremantle, trying to push for a top three spot and keep themselves genuinely in the mix for a tilt at the premiership this year. They couldn't find the mongrel that Perth mustered. They lost the contest around the stoppages. Clint Jones and Aidan Troppiano against his old side was terrific, and the surprising thing was that Perth did it despite being reduced to just two fit players on the interchange bench from early in the second quarter. So it was a real win for resilience for the Perth Football Club, but I think it could be a defining win for them under Earl Spalding. As I said, his second year of coach, they built on what they did last season, only two wins last season, four this year. They could finish the year with six or seven, and it would be a stepping stone, hopefully, to a tilt at a finals appearance next year.
Yeah, wouldn't that be exciting, seeing Perth sort of get up and do all that? But I can't be saying that because I'm not a Perth supporter. But so we'll talk about the Subi versus Claremont. Subi got up 101 to Claremont 75. They had a bit of a scare in the first quarter, but they came back to have a pretty convincing win. How do you feel about their win over Claremont?
Look, I think Subi are a very good side, and as all good sides do, they responded. They were on the ropes a bit, 5-1 at quarter time, and then they lifted across the park. Cole Horsley was influential. We know he's a very, very good player at the waffle level, and they've really found one in Liam Ryan, who bobbed up and kicked four goals and had his hand in plenty of others as well. He's emerged probably particularly over the last month as an AFL draft smoky, and he gives that forward line of Subiaco's an extra element that maybe was missing in the first part of the season. We all wondered, you know, the only question mark about them winning a third straight premiership was where the goals were going to come from after Shane Yaram went into the AFL system. And they lost their full forward, Matthew Volan, back over East. But in Matt's place, they've got Hamish Shepherd. He's been a really good key forward for Subi. And Liam Ryan is doing what Shane Yaron has done very, very effectively. So Subi Echo have been able to cover their weaknesses, so to speak, and seem to have come out of the bye reasonably strong, and they're getting their best side back on the park. So, look, I still think they're the team to beat for the premiership, and the ladder would say as such.
And I feel like Claremont are sometimes a bit of a two-quarter team. They can start really strongly or come back a bit stronger, but they can't always seem to hold it out to win the games.
Yeah, they haven't been able to finish off games this year. I think the statistic about some of the matches that they've lost, albeit it was a 26-point margin on Saturday, but they've lost some five or six games by two goals or less this season. So they've been in winning positions. They've not had the killer instinct and they've not had the capacity to put sides away and play four quarters of footy. So I think you're spot on, and I wouldn't be surprised. Michael Broadbridge has been weighing up his future as coach of the side. I wouldn't be surprised if we have a different mix to the leadership heading in the next season. And don't be mistaken, I think Claremont will be a much better side next year. They probably will get back a couple of players out of the AFL system, and we could see them bounce back very strongly, potentially under a new coach next year. So one to watch for 2017, but unfortunately, if you're a Claremont fan, their finals hopes are well and truly done and dusted for this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree. I think they are a good team, but they do definitely need a little bit of work. Speaking of, Swan District's win over Peel Thunder was pretty impressive, 118-79. That's their second win on the table after 11 straight losses. 39-point win. Can we sort of link Peel's loss to Fremantle? I mean, this week they had a pretty inexperienced team with Freo taking out a few of their key players.
I look completely down to the experience that's gone out of Peel's team with just the sheer amount of injuries that the Dockers have. So you've got to think before this period they had players like Matt DeBoer and Tendai Mazungu playing for them. On the weekend they only had three AFL listed players, and another one of those was hurt, Clancy Pearce, during the game. So going forward, given Fremantle's injury list, I think Peel are going to be a pretty young side, and I think Swan District sniffed an opportunity coming into that game. I tipped Swans. I thought they could win it, just given how young Peel were going to be going into the match. And look, I think it creates an interesting situation because Peel are fifth. I think they're just hanging on. They may struggle to win games in the last third of the season, which gives a real opportunity, particularly for East Perth, sitting two wins back in sixth. They've got a real chance to jump up and actually play some finals football, which we might not have expected maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a talk about South Freo now. That's my team, so I'm pretty happy they're back on top. And
you would be happy.
Yeah, and Ben Saunders had a great game, kicking six goals. And he's one of those crucial players for the Bulldogs to reach the finals. But do you think South Freo's team is strong enough to go all the way and win a flag?
Look, at this stage, it really looks like South Fremantle and Subiaco are the two sides that are going to be playing off in the grand final at the end of the year. They're probably the two best balanced sides, and their form and ladder position this year have reflected that. The thing I love about South Fremantle is their just how many options they've got and different options in their forward line. You've got Ben Saunders. He's a dual Bernie Naylor medalist. He's a great goal kicker. He's in the form of his career. But you've got Mason Shaw, who's come out of the Port Adelaide AFL system. He's good in the air and quite mobile. You've got Zach Strom, who's a really strong target. He's playing good footy. Then you've got some smalls like Blaine Johnson and Edwards as well, who have been really exciting and have contributed some tackling pressure to that forward line. So, and they're still going to get back some players. Ashton Nams was missing on the weekend, and we know before he got unfortunately taken out of Sandover contention that he was a favourite for the medal this year. They've got Hayden Schloyth that can come back into the forward line. So South Fremantle's best side are definitely capable of taking it to and potentially beating Subiaco. So I'd be very, very excited if I was a South Freo fan about what may be coming later in the year.
Very excited. And it was a good win over West Perth too. They've been playing well.
Yeah, it was. West Perth, seven games in a row, so they were certainly no bunnies. And it was on. It was a tight game for a half before South Fremantle were able to put their foot down in that third term. And look, I think it was significant that Tim Kelly, who's been played state footy, been in great touch, he was tagged and held to only 10 disposals. And despite Hams being out as well, some of the lesser lights through that South Fremantle midfield lifted. And I wouldn't necessarily say it was the greatest strength of that South Fremantle side. I think they're very good at either end of the park in attack and defence. Their midfield's strong, but I think they showed that it bats reasonably deep as well with that win over West Perth. So really significant, and we see a two-win gap now between South Fremantle and Subiaco and West Perth in third. So it feels like there's a real pecking order that's finally developed in the Waffle heading into the final third of the season.
Thanks for enlightening us with your knowledge.
Look, thanks for having me on. Any of you are out there listening, get down and see a match. A very good standard of footy this weekend. There's some good games, so yeah. Thanks for having me on.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
So, guys, how did everyone go in the tipping this week now that I've been kicked out?
Yeah, look, Kelly, we sort of just...
I was too good. I was too much of a threat for you that you felt the need to kick me out. I understand. It's all right.
Well, look, I think Josh is close to getting kicked out. He's not putting his tips in either.
It's becoming Birch, Joel, Verity and Soph, just a four-horse race now.
Yeah.
Two horses gone. So.
Oh, well, I wouldn't even say that. I've crept up again. I'm winning by 2 points. I got two honestly. This round, as did Verity and Soph. Joel, you only got one. One tip, honestly.
Yeah, no, because I'm tipping for the upset. I'm tipping for the upset because I have to get in front of you somehow. But the upsets never seem to go my way. You know, I think, I'm pretty sure I tipped West Perth over... South Freo, just thinking, you know, I'm sure out South Freo, West Perth might get the biggies, but sure enough, that doesn't come off for me, doesn't it? Now I'm another rung down the ladder, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've got to say thanks to you, Joel, for reminding me on Friday night as we're having
exactly.
a beer with Verity.
You weren't even going to do it. That's right.
Completely forgot, so I've got to thank you.
This is not on. Kelly, we have to figure out a way to sabotage Birchie doesn't win.
Let's give a rundown of the ladder. I'm 36, Verity's 34, Joel at 33, and Soph at 32. And do you want me to tell you your score, Kelly?
Well, okay, before you say my score, keep in mind I stopped tipping a while ago because I suck and you know, I just have no motivation. Because
you're still ahead of Josh Garlop, so you're 23 and Josh is 20.
How about we set up a little comp between Josh and Kelly? Whoever wins from here out between those two.
Yeah. Okay, but can we not tell Josh about this?
Yeah, fair call. Oh. Okay, he has to listen to the podcast to find out.
Thanks for joining us, Joel.
That's all right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll be tuning in this afternoon. Obviously, I'm 2 hours ahead, so maybe more tonight for me. But, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Let's have a look at next week's games. Claremont versus Perth at the Claremont Showgrounds. West Perth versus East Fremantle at HBF Arena. South Fremantle versus East Perth at the Fremantle Community Bank Oval. And Subiaco are going to verse Swan Districts at the Medibank Stadium. And that'll all be at 2:15 on Saturday. Should be a good week of games. How's the ladder looking, Kelly?
Well, on top, you've got South Fremantle, closely followed by Subiaco. Third place, my boys, West Perth. Then we've got East Fremantle, Peel Thunder. They're sitting on 28 points. Now, there's a bit of a difference. East Perth is next on 20. Then you've got Perth, Claremont, and lucky last is Swan Districts on 8 points.
Well, look, it's been a great episode. Thanks for joining us and tune in next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.